guests and all officials that are on the platform. Welcome to the meeting. Just in terms of who's in attendance, it's Honorable Mthethwa, Honorable Maleka, Honorable Matsamai, I had seen Zandamela, Honorable Seleku, Honorable members, and once again, welcome, Minister and Deputy Minister. Honorable members, just in terms of today's meeting, or before I deal with that, Gershwin, if you could just perhaps give me an indication of apologies. I understand that Ndongeni has submitted an Honorable Ndongeni has submitted an apology, if there are any more.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. Honorable Ndongeni is the only apology we received, Chair.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And members, just in terms of today's... Just in terms of today's agenda, we're going to be dealing with two items. The first is a briefing by the ministry and the department on the public comments that we received to the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill, also known as the DNA Bill. And thereafter, we'll also get a briefing by the Free State Provincial Commissioner on the state of police services in the Free State Province. And that item is linked more to our activities next week when we as a committee will be undertaking oversight in the Free State. Then just in terms of coming back to our first agenda item, honourable members, you'll recall that on the 15th of June, prior to when we went in recess, we received a briefing by the Ministry of Police and the South African Police Services on the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill. But just in terms of the public participation process, we put the bill out for comment on both electronic and newspaper platforms. And just to give an indication to yourselves, that we received two written submissions from the following organizations: Action Society and COSATU. I think those documents were also forwarded to members in the course of last week. In essence, both organizations are in support of the bill, and COSATU has also recognized or they've highlighted the severe limitations on the existing forensic capacity. That being said, let me then hand over to yourself, Minister, just in terms of the responses that the department has made with regard to the comments that we received. Minister, over to yourself. Or Deputy Minister, I'm not sure. I've seen the Minister.
Yeah, the minister is in attendance. He might be. Yeah, good morning, Chair, and good morning, Minister and National Commissioner, the honorable members that are here, Head of the Hawks, General Bia, and the Acting Secretary, Mr. Amaru. The minister is in attendance. If we can just check with him that he come in. If he's failing, I will lead the team chair in the processes.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. I can actually see the minister on his video is open as well. Minister, welcome. Thanks. Over to yourself.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody. We are back from the Mazamas, so we are fine. we are here for now. Raise the matter. Almost the team is quite here, led by the National Commissioner General Masimula, and the presentation will be made as it has been presented to ourselves. Maybe without wasting time, because the fundamentals and the essence has been done on this. It's just this addition from COSAT and Action Society. So I would request that people from Secretariat, I don't know if the Acting Secretary is here, they take us through on the matter, Chair. Secretariat.
Thank you, Minister. Honorable Chairperson, we are here. Maybe it's a way of introduction. I am accompanied by our legislation team led by Advocate Bell, with the heads of provincial secretariats, HODs for community safety also in support, and the executives from the secretariat. We have Dr. Philip Jacobs, who is going to lead the presentation. Through you, Honorable Chairperson.
Please continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to mention that the presentation that is on the screen at the moment is the one that was prepared by the SAPS and which focus on the abilities, etc. of SAPS. So if I could ask that Gershwin could just show the other presentation that was presented by the Secretariat for Police Service.
Gershwin?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, if we can go to the first slide. And as it was already said that the presentations we received was only from COSATU and Action Society. If you can go to the next slide, please.
When you've got
to
enable editing.
Sorry, Chair, could you repeat that?
Are you able to go to the next slide?
I have moved. Is it not showing up, Chair?
No, it's not. Oh, not on my screen. I'm not sure about other members.
You've been with us, not Chair. It's not showing, Chair. If we can refresh, it will help.
Yeah.
All right, Chair, let me just try that again.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. If we can go to the next slide then, please. Chair, the comments, as I've said, was received from COSATU and Action Society, and it will be dealt with here under. COSATU supports the speedy passage of the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill, and COSATU also holds the view that the bill is in line with and gives expression to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It provides a fair balance with the rights of all citizens. The next slide, please. COSATU do, however, point out that the Act is restrictive in that the taking of DNA samples is limited to persons arrested for scheduled offences, that is Schedule 8 offences, and COSATU believes that the collecting of buccal samples must be done when persons are arrested and charged for all criminal offences, in line with how the taking of fingerprints, photos and other forensic information is done. This must be applied to all persons irrespective of the schedule of the offence that they are accused of. In order to ensure that the bill can be implemented, government needs to ensure that the SAPS and the Department for Correctional Services are provided with the necessary resources to collect buccal samples from all persons arrested convicted or imprisoned for all offences. The Act allows, if we can give comment on that, Chair, the Act allows for the taking of buccal sample in respect of a person after arrest, but before appearance in court, to be formally charged in respect of any offence. That is Section 36D2 of the Criminal Procedure Act. Schedule 8 offences are relevant in respect of the obligatory taking of buccal samples of persons arrested or charged. And that Section 36D1 of the Criminal Procedure Act was put into operation from 31 January 2022. COSATU in their comments recognises the severe limitations on the existing forensic capacity. And save for the fact that the buccal sample may be taken in respect of any offence, it should be taken into account that Schedule 8 offences, where it is obligatory, cover quite a huge number of offences where DNA sampling is in particular useful. And Chair, in the next slide, we have just included the offences that are in Schedule 8 at the moment. And I'm not going to mention all of them, but it covers like treason, public violence, murder, rape or compelled rape, sexual assault, compelled sexual assault, or compelled self-sexual assault, and also offences in terms of the Sexual Offences and Related Matters Amendment Act of 2007. The next slide, please. Also, robbery, kidnapping, child stealing, assault where dangerous wound is inflicted, arson, breaking or entering into premises, theft, whether under the common law or statutory provision, etc. So, Chair, really the Schedule 8 covers the most serious and some of the most common offences where DNA is relevant in terms of investigation. You can go to the next slide, please. Also included there, of course, are offences under the Firearms Control Act, Explosives Act, the Protection of Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorist and Related Activities Act, and offences relating to trafficking in persons, and also offences of torture as defined in the Prevention and Combating of Torture of Persons Act 2013. The next slide, please. So, Chair, if I can summarize in respect of the COSATU presentation, the Act already provides that the buccal sample may be taken in respect of any offence. The obligatory taking of DNA samples are restricted to Schedule 8 offences, and those cover a huge number of offences. In view of the budgetary limitations and relevance, it's proposed that the Criminal Procedure Act provides adequately in this regard. It should also be taken into account that the Criminal Procedure Act is not under consideration here, but only the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill dealing with the taking of buccal samples of persons convicted for Schedule 8 offences. I'm sure the South African Police Service may be able to provide information about the budgetary implications for the implementation of the sections or the clauses in the bill. The next slide, please. Chair, when we come to Action Society, they comment that Section 36D1 provides for the mandatory taking of buccal samples from arrested, charged, or convicted persons of certain offences listed in Schedule 8. They say that they are concerned that in the 7 years since then, the exception has not been removed and that Section 36D1 remains inoperable. In other words, it's still not mandatory for the South African Police Service to take buccal samples in the appropriate circumstances, notwithstanding that this is a legislated procedural requirement. Chair, we just need to point out that Section 36D1 of the Criminal Procedure Act was in fact implemented from the 31st of January 2022 in Proclamation number 48 of 2022, which was published on the 13th of January 2022. The next slide, please. Action Society furthermore criticizes the fact that there was an undue delay in introducing the bill since the expiry of the transitional period within which the buccal samples of convicted Schedule 8 offenders might have been taken and the high number of convicted offenders who were released since the expiry of the transitional period on 31 January 2017. Chair, this concern has been noted, but in general, it is clear that Action Society supports the contents of the bill as well as the speedy implementation thereof. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Phillips, Dr. Jacobs. Minister or Deputy Minister, is there a subsequent presentation? I know we received two, one from the department and the other from the Civilian Secretariat. If you could just guide us whether you're making another presentation and or if you have any comments to make.
Well, from our side, as the matter led by the Deputy Minister, but from our side, that would be our presentation. But I can hand over to the Deputy Minister, Honorable Chairperson, through your permission.
Deputy Minister.
Thanks, Minister. Thanks, Chair, and good morning to members of the committee. With regard to the processes of the legislation, I think the submission by Dr. Jacobs suffices because it talks to the specific areas that COSATU Action Society made with this regard, which basically support the process. The other submission that was prepared is mainly explaining or detailing what they have been doing since the legislation came and what made it difficult for them to be able to perform certain functions that necessitated the amendment of this legislation to put the element of where somebody's refusing, you can then use necessary force to take the buccal samples, which was not absent there. But mainly that's what the presentation from SAPS is saying. And I think for the sake of time, it might not be necessary for us to go that route. But if members feel that they will want this presentation to be made, I think we can allow the commissioner to talk to and the team to talk to the presentation of SAPS, which has been prepared for the committee. We will be guided by yourself. But thanks, Minister. I think that is what I can say with regard to the subject matter that we have before us, and also to commend the team from the Secretariat and SAPS for having responded appropriately to the request of the committee, but also appreciate the committee's time to afford us to speedily pass this piece of legislation through the NCOP and ultimately back to Parliament and to the President to assent so that it can become operational. Thanks very much.
Now, thank you very much, Deputy Minister, for that clarity as well. I just didn't want to pass a presentation we received without being cleared on the content. But I don't think it's actually necessary to make that presentation, but I think it's important maybe just to thank you for that additional information. I think that presentation also covered some of our questions that we raised as a committee in the previous meeting. Thank you very much for that. Let me also thank you for the presentation in relation to comments we received on the bill. And I can't concur more with you that I think the concerns raised by COSATU and Action Society have been covered in your presentation. But let me then just open it up to honourable members if they have any other question or concern that they would want to raise. If you can just give me an indication by show of hands. And I don't see anyone raising a hand. So I want to assume that we are covered by Honorable Dudu.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, for the opportunity. I'm driving in the rural villages of the Northwest, and I profusely apologize that I'm not going to switch on my video. Firstly, Honorable Chair, I think let us welcome the presentation as well as the submissions from the relevant bodies who are also concerned, who raise some issues around the proposed legislation. Secondly, I want to say that this work is extremely important, and I agree with the Deputy Minister that it must be expedited. We must fast track it as the NCOP so that at the end of the day we pass it and thereafter give it to the President for his signature for ascension. This is very much important. But the question for me, Honorable Chair, is in relation to, I want to check whether does this bill in the way that we want to take DNAs and all of that, does it affect also the foreigners? What we are doing for South Africans, are we doing the same thing with regard to the foreigners? I'm raising this particular point because, as we all know, and it's a concern for all of us, there are a lot of undocumented foreigners in our country, and we need to find a way in which, as part of strengthening the criminal justice system and the Criminal Procedures Act, that we must tighten it up so that at the end of the day we do our work diligently. This is a concern that I'm raising, Honorable Chairperson. I'm raising it because, in my respective view, we must be firm in terms of what we do, especially in terms of people who argue that they have specific rights. But the fact of the matter is, Honorable Chair, when you are arrested, you are suspect. It is alleged that you have committed certain things. And in one way or the other, we must find a way in terms of the Constitution, especially Section 38(6) of the Constitution, to restrict certain rights of a person who is a suspect in terms of dealing with crime in our country. For me, this is the best way in terms of attending to the matters that are facing us. But as I pointed out, my question was, does this dispensation that we're introducing now applicable? Is that the same, even in respect of the foreign undocumented, especially undocumented foreigners who are in our land? Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dudu. Honorable Mteta?
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. Firstly, let me also join those that are welcoming the spin. But my challenge, Chair, is just to ask them that there are a number of people that find themselves in prison for wrong for wrong cause. How are we going to administrate this bill? Is there any plan put in place to ensure that those that are found wrongfully in prison, because these days anything is possible. I normally say that if you are a man, you are waiting your day in court. You can be in court for any other reason. So how are we going to deal for those if everybody's taken this type of sample? Because sometimes other people, when they've gone through this, it's difficult just to remove their name after they found that they were correct and there was nothing against them, especially on the political field. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mthethwa. Honorable Motsamai, your hand was up, but I see it has been lowered, so I'm not sure if you still want to make an
issue. Yes, there are Chinese people who are pushing slavery within our country. When you go to these factories, you will find these Malawian and Zimbabwean are being treated unfairly by the Chinese who don't have
Matsumai, from my side, I can't hear anything from you. You're actually frozen on the screen. Okay. Deputy Minister, let me then just hand over to yourself just to deal with the two, I would say, rather concerns by Honorable Dodogu and Honorable Tetwa, just to provide more clarity on some of these matters. Minister?
No, thanks, Chair. We'll go back to Dr. Jacobs, Chair, so that we don't deal with opinions, we deal with legality of the matter. Where does this legally put us beyond the opinions and the thinkings? Maybe going back to Dr. Jacobs. Thanks.
Thank you. Dr. Jacobs?
Thank you, Chair. Relating to the question from the Honourable Member Dodogu, the issue about foreigners, really, in terms of this act, it is equally applicable to any person in South Africa that's being arrested. So, and furthermore, the bill focuses on persons who have been convicted, who are serving a sentence, and in terms of the bill, we will be able to take their DNA before they have finalized their sentence. In other words, whenever they would re-offend, it would be able through their DNA to trace them. And whether it's a foreigner or a person, irrespective of the status of the person in the country, the act will equally apply. The other question was relating to persons wrongfully convicted, serving a sentence. Chair, I must firstly point out that the use of DNA is not only to obtain a conviction, but to facilitate the investigation of a case. And it could also exclude, there's a specific section in the legislation that's already in force, where the DNA of a group of persons, say for instance, a number of persons have been present where an offense has been committed, that it is you are able to take the DNA of that group, and in the process you can then exclude persons who are not linked with the crime. And then regarding the removal of the DNA from the database, there is a provision already in the legislation that once a person has been found not guilty and acquitted in terms of the court process, there's an obligation on the head of the forensic science laboratory to ensure that those DNA samples are removed from the database. So the person cannot be linked in future, but that was also in relation to the fingerprints. In terms of fingerprints, the same is applicable. Once a person has been acquitted, the fingerprints and the DNA sample profile must be removed from the database. Chair, I think that covers the questions that have been asked. The last one I couldn't really... there was the issue about slavery that I picked up. As you will remember, Schedule 8 also includes slavery because these offences are mostly offences where DNA can assist in terms of the solving of a crime. So really, the Act is quite wide in terms of that. But we must remember that the amendment that we are dealing with is really focused on taking the DNA of persons serving their sentence. So if they are released and they would reoffend, we would be able to arrest them again and bring them before the court. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, Chairperson. To add on the second one, we have got a practical case, Chairperson, of the 8 young women that were raped, even before somebody's sentence. For instance, biology people went there, they picked up good semen, they say, and all that. need to be to be a parade, and then those people will have to be linked through the DNA even before they are arrested. So, but process is going forward. They can't be in the database if they are not found guilty. So it's a really a weapon that we can't undermine. That will help a lot to assist, especially on murders and gender-based violence cases. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister and Dr. Jacobs, for responding to honorable members. I think you've covered the issues that were raised. And let me just remind honorable members that we're dealing with procedural matters related to the bill. And I think I agree that we tried as much as we can, Deputy Minister, that we understand that it's an important bill, and we tried our best to try and expedite it as well. That's why we tried to get a briefing as soon as we could before we went to recess, so that we could use the recess period to advertise and get public comments. I think, be that as it may, in our next meeting, we'll actually then be dealing with the report of the committee, which we could then table in the House, in the NCOB, and then take that process forward. We'll do everything we can to try and speed up this process. On this bill, we're closing on this agenda item, and I think we'll then move on to the next agenda item. Honourable members, I think as I indicated as in my opening, that the we are busy preparing for the committee oversight week, which will be in the province, the Free State province. And we thought it prudent that we try and get a briefing by the province today, so that we, given our limited time, because it's a joint oversight with ourselves, Security and Justice, and the Committee on COCTA, Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation, but also in line with our plan, annual plan as a committee, we had identified aspects related to SAPS, as well as matters related to military veterans that we'll be focusing on in the Free State. But with regard to the South African Police Services, we had then requested the minister, the deputy minister, as well as the Free State Provincial Commissioner to brief the committee on the state of police services within the Free State province. We also requested that the presentation covers the management of police services within the area, interventions by the police to combat crime specific to the region or to the province, the management of rural stations, and the implementation of the police rural safety strategy. And on members, we will also be looking at, when we do go and do our oversight in the province, we will be focusing on the Park Road Police Station in Bloemfontein, as it is the only police station amongst the identified top 30 crime hotspot police stations. And I think that there are quite a number of issues we'll be covering when we do that engagement, including compliance to the Domestic Violence Act, focusing on training matters with regard to SAPS, reporting and facilities to address gender-based violence, the state of equipment at the police station, plans to reduce crime in the area, amongst a whole lot of other matters that members would want to also raise. That being said, Minister, if I can please then hand over to yourself before we get to the Provincial Commissioner. Minister, over to yourself.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will hand over to the National Commissioner. See, but it does look like the the message we receive is that the provincial commissioner has got a bereavement on a very close person, like a mother-in-law. So the deputy will lead that according to the information we have. But I'll hand over to the national commissioner to take us through. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. Maybe we should just also convey our condolences to the Free State Provincial Commissioner on the loss and bereavement in May Assault. National Commissioner, your volume is very we can't hear you.
Okay, how is it now, Honorable Chair?
It's very much better.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the Minister of Police, the Deputy Minister, the Secretariat, and colleagues. The presentation, Honorable Chair, will be led by Major General Singh, who is the Deputy Provincial Commissioner of Free State. As you said, it will be around the status of policing as requested, and more specifically also the Park Road Police Station, which is one of those police stations that has been under construction by Department of Public Works for over 5 years, which hampers service delivery in that regard. But there is construction back on site. We hope it will finish properly somewhere in the future. But let me give General Singh to take us through the provincial profile and current picture and how are we dealing with it in the Free State. General Singh.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, the National Commissioner, Honorable Members of the House, Senior Managers. A very good morning, Free State. Greetings to you all. I'm Major General Singh, and I will take you through the presentation. If we can have the presentation flighted, please.
Keshwan, if you can assist, please.
Hi, Chairperson. The police asked to give them rights, Chairperson. I'm not sure who from their side is flighting.
Oh, I see. It's on the screen.
All right, thank you very much, Secretariat. Honorable Chair, as the Honorable Chair mentioned, we were given some areas that we needed to prepare on. And looking at the areas, the provincial profile, including Park Road Police Station, as well as the crime overview of the province and the police station itself, issues around rural safety, community involvement, specifically focusing on community police forums, and then general overview of challenges and achievements, Honorable Chair. Can we move to the next slide? Right, Honorable Chair, this is just a graphical representation of the various districts in the Free State. It's just for information. We have 5 districts, one being Thabo Mofokeng, Fezile Dabe, Lejwele Putswa, Mangaung, and Gariep. Next slide. Honorable Chair, this is a provincial profile. The size of the province is 129,825 square kilometers with 14 national key points. The mid-year estimate population is standing at 2,928,903. The Free State province is made up of 5 districts and 111 police stations. The stations are categorized as urban, rural, and a mixture of urban and rural, as depicted. Seven stations are regarded as urban. That's Patu, Haidadal, Kopanong, Mangaung, Meloding, Tabong, and Tumahole. We have 11 rural stations, and we have a mixture of urban and rural stations, which are 93. The province's contribution to the national crime picture will be depicted in section two, commencing from 2018 up to 21-22. Thank you. Chair, this is the provincial profile. In the Free State province, we have 34 tertiary institutions, 1,090 schools, hospitals are 104, 85 clinics, magisterial courts are 593, and we have one high court. In respect of liquor profile, the outlets on-site consumption is 3,776, whereas off-site is 1,701. Train stations, we have 38, taxi ranks 104, churches 2,370, shopping malls and centers where there are 10 and more shops, there's 63. Spas and shops, there's 5,894. Accommodation and self-catering and B&Bs, et cetera, is 1,040. We have our dominant industries includes mining and agriculture. General dealers in respect of secondhand goods, we have 189. Auctioneers, 20. Jewelers, 39. Motor vehicle dealers, 278, scrap metal, it's 199, and recyclers, there's 96 of them, Honorable Chair. Next slide. This is the provincial executive management, and I'm sure in the packages, we also included the provincial heads and district commissioners. We're not going to flight that, but the provincial commissioner of Free State is Lieutenant General Motsvenyane. The Deputy Provincial Commissioner for Policing is Major General Lesia. Deputy Provincial Commissioner for Crime Detection is Major General Modise. And the Deputy Provincial Commissioner Support Services, that's myself, Major General Singh. This is a provincial staff profile. We conform to what was required. Total number of districts, there are 5 and 111 police stations. And then the operational personnel that we're going to talk about is the actual versus the ideal. And we did not include support as such for the province because we're looking at the operational personnel, but we do have the statistics for support personnel. Crime prevention, we are staffed at 62.2% with 602 vehicles. Crime detection, we are staffed at 57.6% with 835 vehicles. Now going to the other specialized units as such, TRT staffed at 104.9% with 51 vehicles, K9 at 83.2% with 84 vehicles, POP at 94% with 184 vehicles. Then we have 14 personnel within the air wing with 2 aircrafts and 6 vehicles. The flying squad and highway patrols are staffed at 79.7% with 50 vehicles, whereas LCRC has 213 personnel with 110 vehicles. Actual reservists that we have is 374. Our mounted units is staffed at 75% with 11 vehicles, whereas crime intelligence has 461 personnel with 180 vehicles. We have the water wing, which is 100% staffed with 11 vessels and 6 vehicles. Community in blue numbers are 3,076. Our active reservists are 202, and the students currently on course is 172. Park Road, this is a quick profile of Park Road itself. The size of Park Road is 304 square kilometers with 3 national key points and a population in terms of the mid-year estimates of 85,108. In the Park Road policing precinct, we have 13 tertiary institutions, 62 schools, 20 hospitals, 28 clinics, magisterial courts 1, the High Court falls within Park Road policing precinct. Off-site consumption liquor outlets is 445. On-site, those are the taverns, is 387, with one train station and 13 taxi ranks. Churches are 41, malls are 13, spas and shops are 51, accommodations 72 outlets, and farms and small holdings is 444. Secondhand goods, general dealers 29, auctioneers is 2, jewelers 5, motor vehicle dealers 112, and scrap metal dealers 9, and recyclers 6. This is a Park Road profile. Community service center, that's including the courts and the two satellite stations, which is Windmill and Tabure. They are staffed at 75.7% with 26 vehicles. Crime prevention is staffed at 67.5% with 28 vehicles. Detectives are at 60.6% with 45 vehicles, and the support is at 91% with 9 vehicles. Let's look at the crime overview. Honorable Chair, this is the crime statistics from January to March 2022. This is our contribution, Free State's contribution to the national statistics. If we look at the category of total contact crimes, our contribution as the Free State was 6.1% contribution to the national figure of 157,907. In respect of total sexual offenses, we contributed 6.7%. The subcategories of aggravated robbery, we contributed to 4.5%. Contact-related crimes, our contribution as Free State was 5.9% to the national figure. Next slide. Okay, then this property-related crimes. Our contribution was 6.5% to the national picture, whereas the other serious crimes, we contributed 6%. And crimes detected as a result of police action is 3.8% contribution to the national picture. Next slide. This is a picture of the crime progressively from 2018 up to 2022. As we can see, the total contact crimes, that's crimes against the person, we had a 17.5% increase. And we can have a look at the categories itself, but I'll focus on the totals at this stage. Looking at the total sexual offenses, we actually went up 21%. The only area that we had a reduction was our contact sexual offenses of 2 cases. The subcategories of aggravated robbery, we were looking at robbery at residential premises and non-residential premises. We have a reduction. And in the spaces where there isn't a percentage, for example, attempted sexual offenses, we were at 32.4%, and the reduction of contact sexual offenses was at 8%. Going down to the other categories, the subcategories of aggravated robbery, we can see that carjacking, we had 9 cases more in the period, the current period, whereas robbery at residential as well as robbery at non-residential of minus 13 and minus 1.6 respectively. Robbery of cash in transit went up by 3 cases, as well as truck hijacking by 7 cases. Contact-related crimes, we had a total of 20.4% increase in that regard. Next slide. Looking at the categories as well, the property-related crimes, we had an increase of 5.5% total property-related crimes. Other serious crimes also had an increase of 13.1%, but we see reductions in commercial crime and shoplifting. Your crimes detected as a result of police action, we have done well. in respect of illegal possession of firearms.
I want to know what is the arrangement with that member, Ed Pastor, from your office.
I'm not sure who the person is. Okay. All right. Please continue.
All right. Thank you very much. Our drug-related crimes. No, let's go back to that previous slide. Drug-related crime, we showed an increase of 33.7%. We need a little bit more work on driving under the influence. We showed a decrease of 9.3%. And sexual offenses detected as a result of police action at 35.3%. So overall, we increased this dimension. We did very well at 21.2%. Thank you. This is Park Roads crime for the same period, 5 years, January to March, from 2018 up to 2022. We can look at the categories: attempted murder, there was a significant reduction of that minus 33.3%. But overall, the category of crimes, contact crimes, showed an increase of 34.3%. Looking at total sexual offenses, we had a rape, showed a significant decrease of minus 15.4%, whereas the other categories showed an increase. Overall, total sexual offenses, we had a 31.6% increase. The subcategories of aggravated robbery, carjacking in the Park Road precinct showed a 57.1% decrease, whereas the robbery at residential and non-residential had a 3 and 5 case increase during that period of time. Contact-related crimes, the total contact-related crimes, we had an increase of 4 cases, which represents 6.7%. Looking at property-related crimes, we had some successes there with burglary residential premises with minus 7 cases, as well as stock theft with a reduction of 5 cases. The other areas showed a bit of an increase, but overall it was a 10.5% increase. The other serious crimes categories, commercial crime and shoplifting, there was decreases. Overall, there was a 10.8% increases. Now, crimes dependent on police action has shown much improvement, with all the categories being significantly achieved, the total of 16.0% increase in that facet. The overarching interventions to combating crime. We have recently presented the concept to the DG in the office of the Premier on the 11th of July, which is Operation Petisa Molao, and the brand ambassador of that is the Premier in the Free State. We were supposed to launch Petisa Molao on today, actually, but the Premier indicated that she wants to make it a huge event by inviting mayors from all the districts, etc. So we're going to postpone that to a later date. The integrated planning and execution will be undertaken through priority committees aligned to the Free State Crime Prevention Strategy. Monitoring of Petisa Molao and the evaluation will be through the executive structures at FOHOD and at EXCO. Interventions to address gender-based violence and femicide. We had an Indaba on the 21st of, a huge Indaba actually, on the 21st of May 22. With critical stakeholders, established an integrated task team with the NPA that is continuously engaging, conducting awareness, screening of case dockets, etc. There's quarterly reporting to the top management by entities. The process for implementation of additional Tutuzela centers, we are fortunate that at Botshabelo and Putarichaba, there's going to be 2 additional Tutuzela centers established. There's continuous engagement with communities and schools in respect of awareness. Continuous capacitation of newly appointed detective commanders at the FCS where necessary, just to enhance capacity. There's planned interventions as part of Women's Month, which will include visits, operations, awareness, and roadblocks. There's a high-level GBV committee established and chaired by the Deputy Provincial Commissioner of Policing, as well as the Deputy Provincial Commissioner of Crime Detection. In respect of rural safety, We did indicate that we have, in terms of our station classification, we have 11 that are purely rural stations. Mixed urban is 93, urban is 7. At all police stations, we have rural safety coordinators who are appointed in writing. They implementing the strategy in respect of the following. There's monthly meetings undertaken, there's awareness, there's joint operations. We have reservists in the rehearsals, and Park Road had their rehearsal on the 4th of June. There's continuous stakeholder engagement, and there's cross-border meetings and operations with the Kingdom of Lesotho. The recent one was Operation Gichima. Status of investigations, attacks on farms for April to July. We had 7 vessels, Braun, Kestel and Bethlehem. We had suspects arrested, which are 3 and 2 suspects arrested. Whereas Kroonstad, Hoopstad, Virginia, Harry Smith, and Clockerland, there's investigations being undertaken. For the Kestel attack, laptops were stolen, and the others, there was copper cable that was taken as well. Section 4, community involvement. In respect of the community police forums, all community forums in the Free State are fully functional in terms of the approved processes and procedures as per the TDI, the technical indicator description. Community police forum members were elected, and the process thereof was finalized by April 22. District community police boards were also elected for the 2022-23 period. On the 16th of July, the Provincial Community Police Board was elected. There's 2 interventions were scheduled during the second quarter of 22-23 to maintain the functionality of the community policing, namely the provincial work session on the development of community safety plans and the national engagement to empower district community policing boards. General overview. Some of the key interventions, we have Operation Knockout to address illicit mining. It's been running for quite a while. We have bi-weekly crime detection tracing operations. And in respect of Mangaung Metro, a trio task team has been established and has been shown significant results. Looking at Project Knockout, the success is achieved from April to June 22. We can see the type of operations. On the left-hand side, underground search and seizure, there's 10 arrests for search and seizure. 1 stop and search was 98. Disruptive surface operations, 147. And going down, the total number of operations were 260, with total number of arrests, 214. And that's an illegal immigrants in itself was 314 that were arrested. Some of the confiscations included firearms, which were 2 9mm, 3 rifles. 9mm ammunition was 16, cartridges for 255, magazines 1, and Mandrax tablets 144, with gold bearing material of 3,150.07 kgs. Provincial tracing operations from April to June, we had a total number of 246 operations. The number of case dockets that were dealt with was 1,112. With 1,240 arrests. Suspects were arrested for a variety of offenses, including common assault, which includes matters of threats, which are 238, assault GBH 200, attempted murder 11, burglaries at residential business 36, housebreaking 21, liquor-related were 6, other offenses were 42, that includes intimidation, cruelty to animals, and intimidation, mentioned that. Malicious damage to property was 71, possession-related offences 43, protection order violation 70, and crime and injuria 24. Next slide. Secretariat. Uh, Okay, thank you. Honorable Chair, there is the Trio Crimes Task Team in the Park Road Police Station itself. Within the Mangaung District, a perpetrator and his wife was identified, and the modus operandi was determined in respect of trio-related crime. Right, there were collaborated efforts both internally and externally, and the wife was positively identified. Here, the suspects were linked to various cases through fingerprints and eyewitness accounts. They were linked to 2 armed robberies, 1 business robbery, and 10 burglary residential cases across the district. Another group who is responsible for the commission of various trio crimes like business robberies, house robberies, were arrested and also passively linked with cases which includes murder, attempted murder, business robberies, and possession of unlicensed firearms and ammunition. Next slide. Secretariat, can we just move to the next slide, please? Okay, Honorable Chair, let me proceed. I have the presentation in front of me. In respect of public works projects, Honorable Chair, is it fine that I proceed?
Yes, please continue. Maybe the presentation will catch up with you.
Okay, all right. With regards to public works projects, we have an issue with the rolling blackouts. Load shedding in the country has affected operational requirements in the province. Specifically, we're looking at the entire Puta di Chaba area. Thank you very much. Which is constantly having power outages, whether it's load shedding or not, but there's a serious issue of power outages in the entire Puta di Chaba area that impacts on the community and the police. With regards to other public works projects, infrastructure, the province has been faced negatively as a result of infrastructure challenges, specifically at Park Road, Velcom, Odendalsrus stations. Now, Honorable Chair, we've been sitting with challenges with regards to a number of contractors being placed on site. Work is not being done, and we are constantly communicating with the head office to try and liaise with the Department of Public Works to try and rectify the situation. So there's still challenges which exist there. Next slide. Next slide. Okay, I'm going to continue. There's a few slides that's left. Are the operational priorities? Is the okay? Head office has allocated us additional 1.1 million has been ring fenced, and we are thankful for that. We are trying to ensure as far as possible that we have sufficient buckle sample kits. And looking at the first presentation, Honorable Chair, we are now screening all suspects, which means that there's going to be a load on buckle sample kits. But we are dealing with it. That additional funding is really helpful. Now, in respect of the security of police stations, we have launched a project with ring fence budget, which is utilized for security upgrades at service points. We have 9 stations that we are focusing on fencing, and 4 that are focusing on gate motors, so that it makes it easier for our members to function. And as a special priority to address the issue of Puta di Chaba, we have also in the process of procuring generators for each of the stations, which will at least light up the CSC so that functionality can continue at those stations in the Puta di Chaba cluster. Honorable Chair, that's the end of the presentation. I would like to thank you very much for the opportunity. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much for Mr. Singh, or General Singh, for the presentation. Minister or Deputy Minister, do you want to say something in relation to the presentation, or can I perhaps just move ahead with members if they have any contributions and or questions for clarity, and then perhaps you could also come in after that. If you could just guide me, Minister or Deputy.
Well, fine, we can proceed, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. On members, if you have any questions, I see you've already started raising your hands. Thank you very much. I think I'll start with Honourable Mutetwa.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Maybe first, Chair, let me ask you to say, now that we are given this presentation, does that mean we are not going to get the presentation when we go for oversight? Or we're still going to get that presentation station by station for those that will be visiting and engage it?
No, we will. For the police station we're going to, we'll get a presentation and zone into that police station while we do our oversight. This is just more a provincial. They've covered some of the police station, but thank you for raising that, because maybe members should bear that in mind as well when you ask questions.
So therefore, Chair, thank you very much. Therefore, my question, it won't need this session to be more answered specifically, because I would just want to add on what we have requested to find when we go to those police stations. For instance, under your stationary resources, Chair, we will be also interested to see the type of fleets that are they using, whether those cars are fit for purposes, or other than they will find that they are provided with Mercedes Benz while they are working on the mountain. Something like that, Comrade Peggy will know better what I mean about this. So we want to see whether they have fleets, in terms of fleet management, they've got cars that are fit for the purposes. And in that fleet, we'll need some breakdown to say they were given 600 cars, van that they are supposed to be operating with. How many of those vehicles that are still on the road, or half of those fleet are sitting in a garage? If possible, they must tell us why are they sitting in a garage, for how long, and also the aging of those cars. We will like to see those things, because sometimes you get into a police station, they are still sitting with a vehicle that is 25 years old, and they still call it a car that it can chase criminal BMW and the Golf is on the road. We want to see that breakdown, if they can just give us, particularly on the stations that we'll be visiting, and then give us the overall challenges. I've noticed you have given us a number of fleet. You said you've got so much fleet here, so much fleet there. We want to get into the details, because we are doing oversight. The next point, Chair, that I would like to see there is under the infrastructure. Thanks, you have given us the infrastructure. We are interested on the projects that are there, that have been there for a long time, contractors, not completions. What are the problems? We will want to at least summarize it for us, that why is this project has not yet been completed, and those that are completed, whether completed on time or it has have extra time. Those are the issues that we want to see in under your infrastructure, and also your cells. We want to see one or two of the cells, how are your cells, your detention cells looks like. We have seen terrible cells in other areas. We just want to see those cells to be added in your presentation. Your GPV, we will be also interested, just to check, Chair, the VFR, how many of those stations? We want to see them physically, whether they are there or not there, and how are they functioning? Those will be, and what are the challenges thereafter? We would be interested to see those things when we are dealing with your GPV information. I can see it was lacking. On your stakeholder and community engagement, tell us, you just mentioned we have launched this one, we have launched that one, but when we get into the police station, we must see some representative from those stakeholders, whether those policing forums are in operation or are there just as a tick box. Those are the issues that we want to see, especially on your stakeholder community engagement. We just want to see them. Lastly, Chair, in terms of your human resources, I've seen numbers there. You have just, maybe you're giving us the broader picture. But when we get into a station, we want to see the men in blues. How many are they? Are there any shortage? What are the challenges? What is the ratio of the police vis-a-vis the area? Those are the issues, Chair, that I've just pointed up, see some gaps on the current presentation that we were given. I'm not expecting an answer now, Chair, but I will expect an answer when we are on the ground, because some of these things we must see it by ourselves. I thank you very much, Chair. I salute the ministers there.
Thank you, Honorable Mtetwa, and agreed that we'll get some of that information specifically in relation to the police station at that level when we go there. But thanks for highlighting some of those, because I think the expectations or the province will obviously prepare also accordingly. Honorable Seleku?
Good morning, Chair. Apologies for the camera. We've got network problems here. Allow me to greet the minister, the deputy minister, and all the honorable members and the national and the deputy national, all protocol observed. Chair, I would also want to lash to what Honorable Mtetwa said in terms of some of the questions that we will be posing here. Might require more information, and maybe the provincial commissioner is not here as well. My condolences to his family as well. Chair, there was an expose on special assignment, specifically about Major General Jan Tutsit of the Eastern Cape or of the Eastern Free State, who has been accused of being a bully. And there's a lot of things that that attaches him, you know, in some instances also that there's also allegations in terms of being involved in stock theft. So one would want to know, is the department aware about these allegations, specifically aligned to Major General Tsotetsi? And if not, are they not aware about the expose on special assignment? If they are aware, what they have done, you know, to try to get to find out whether these allegations are true or not, so that the credibility, you know, of the uniform can be brought back. And also, Chair, there is another thing that more and more and more what you hear in the Free State, that a lot of members are being accused of being involved, especially in the region of Free State, in stock theft. What is the department doing, you know, to make sure that they are dealing with these issues, or they are in dealing with stock, you know. Can the provincial national and the minister and the deputy minister rule out stock theft syndicate in the murder of Brendan Horn? Mm-hmm. Can they rule it out that it got nothing to do with Stockteff, you know, the murder of in the Brendan Horner murder. And I appreciate the fact that they gave us an update in terms of the Park Road police station. And the presenter said that problem has been coming now for years and years. So mine is to ask, what discussion has the department had with Public Works about this, you know, with Park Road police station? And what has been their response? And why don't the department take it further, maybe to the level of cabinet, so that they can actually complete this particular police station, because people are in need of it? And another one, Chair, is the police officers. We appreciate the presentation that about the generators, but there is apparently police officers use their police their allocation for petrol has been used for electricity, so that they can put fuel into the generators instead of putting fuel into their vehicles to chase after criminals. Is it not creating an opportunity for us, or maybe for this police station, at one particular stage that they will run out of fuel and won't be able to do their work to chase these criminals because they are using their allocation to buy electricity? Can the department just tell us what is the risk and how are they going to minimize this? Also, Chair, what Honorable Mteta has said in terms of holding cells. What is the department doing in trying to make sure that police don't have to travel extreme distances because the holding cells are not usable? And the state is not nice. What is the department going to do to make sure that, you know, people don't have to walk long distances because their holding cells are a problem? And lastly, Chair, there is a lot of vandalism, you know, that is happening, you know, in the Free State. One example you find in Windhoek. The entire stadium was carried away, you know. And then when you ask the police, why didn't they, you know about this, that people, you carry a stadium while the police are there, then they say, no, the municipality did not report it. So, Chair, those are the issues that are very concerning. So the question I ask myself, are officers on station level aware of what their job entails? So if they can allow people to vandalize a stadium and you know, and remove it, and then when you confront them and say, why didn't you fulfill your role, and say, no, the municipality did not report a stadium, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Seleku. Honorable Fisser.
Honorable Chair, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm not putting on my camera. It shows that I've got low width. And also to the minister and the deputy minister. Chair, my first question is the provincial DNA backlog and firearm licenses backlog. Can we have information on that as well? The cross-border crime with Lesotho experiences, what is going on there, and can we have feedback on that? What measures are in place to work with civil society for rural safety? What is the extent of the specialized and rural safety units in place? Is it in place in the Free State? Were stations closed due to public works problems, but the population grew? What is being done to reopen these stations, such as Pahameng satellite station in Bloemfontein that was just closed down? Then I want to know, how far is the investigation into the police officer from Bayswater Bloemfontein who drove into a pedestrian during lockdown? Can we get an app update on that matter? On a visit that I myself on Monday this week to the Bayswater police station done, I found that no affidavit forms and other forms were available and that this station do not have a photocopier in the station for a very long time. Why is this busy state police station in a state of being administratively incapacitated and severely, and I say it because it was in the night, severely short-staffed? That is a disgrace. Because we're overworking certain people and we do not do anything about that. And I understand there's also no reservists available to assist because since they were eliminated. Okay, why did vehicles stand at Baines Flay without being allocated? What is the situation there now? And what is the situation at storage for clothes, stationery, other necessary items? Do officers have to buy such things from their own pockets under certain circumstances? And then my last question is, Chair, allegations of a syndicate between Zama Zamas and Welkom Police is obvious. Has this ever been investigated? And if not, why not? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable
Dodo. Thank you very much once more, Honorable Chair. I want to join my colleagues to welcome the presentation. I think generally it was a very, very informative presentation. What I like about it is that it did an environmental scan. It gave us a total picture of the situation and explain to us in precision what is it that the police are dealing with in the Free State. I think this is quite good and, as I said, very, very much informative. Having said that, I want the minister or the commissioner to correct me or to counter what I'm saying. This presentation has not dealt with key issues that are confronting the police in the Free State. Exactly the issues around resources and spell out exactly what is it that you do to address the problem of resources and concomitant to that, the issue of funding, which in my respective view is insufficient given the magnitude of the work that the police are undertaking. And another issue relates to the expertise. When people accuse the police, they say that they lack a lot of expertise, especially technical expertise to deal with complex criminal matters. And my view is that I didn't hear in precision what do we do in the context of the Free State to counteract that, Honorable Chair. That is the first point. The second point, I want to flow from what Honorable Fisher has indicated about the Zama Zamas. We were in 2020, we visited Bloemfontein and Welkom. And in Welkom, we were told shocking stories about how rampant Zama-Zama people are to the communities of Welkom specifically, where they destroy the economic infrastructure. Nothing is working, especially in respect of electricity. They damage the water pipes and everything else. And we were informed that a year before, the minister was there in Welkom to deal specifically with the issue of Zama Zamas. And I want you to counter this, that in that area since, because part of what the minister committed to do was to establish a special task force in the Free State to deal with the Zama Zamas. And I, given the fact that this is a very serious matter, it is now, in my view, out of control. What are the successes that were born in the Free State that can be proliferated in other areas where this is? And a link to that, these Zamazamas are now right in the inside my city, in Matrosana, Orkney, Stilfontein, and Klerksdorp, where I am. They are rampant. Every day, every week, we get stories about how they are. And that situation is obtained even in the Free State. And maybe the minister must share with us and the commissioner, what plans are they putting in place, or how they are putting them in place without giving us the necessary details in terms of attending to this particular area that has destroyed a very prosperous city in Welkom, one of the two biggest cities in the Free State. The last one, Honorable Chair, relates to corruption. We have dealt with issues of corruption, especially within the municipalities and in the provincial government of the Free State. And this presentation has not covered that to say this is the work that we are dealing to uproot corruption. Municipalities, politicians in the Free State, they act with impunity. And that is why many municipalities are collapsing. As different committees of parliament, including us as members of parliament in this platform, we deal all the time with the investigations in the Free State. And in our view, we need to focus on this because the people of the Free State need to know what happened. It's not only Estina or asbestos matter. There are a lot of matters that are obtained in the Free State, and they need to be elevated, and a concomitant action need to be taken, and those who are responsible for this must be held accountable. And for me, this presentation lacked that approach to say one of the sticky, serious issues in the Free State is corruption, and this is what we are doing to deal with corruption. And because, Honorable Minister, when the MEC and other people present to us, they say, we have referred this matter to the Hawks, we have referred this matter to the ICSIU, we have referred this matter to NPA, and we don't know what is happening. And matters as old as from 2011, and we can show you those particular cases which were reported to us, and there is no concomitant action. And my question is, why are we not expediting these particular cases that are very, very much important, and they are at the heart of what I call the problems in the Free State? I have other issues, Honorable Chair, but for in the interest of time, it's only these three questions that I'm elevating for responses. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dudu. Honorable Motsamai, your hand was up earlier, but can I propose that you switch off your camera? Maybe it will assist with your bandwidth.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Chairperson. Chairperson, there's a very serious problem in Harankua police station. When there is load shedding, there's no electricity, there's no generator at the police station. And the police station will be closed on 9 up until tomorrow. Or as long as there's no electricity, the police station is not working. It will work during the day. There's a very serious also a problem in Katleho North police station. When you call the police that side, they are not attending all cases. They will remain, they say they don't have, they didn't hear your call, there's no electricity, where they don't have even a generator. At Tokoza police station, they have only 2 cars that serve 4 sectors. Most of the cars are not working. They said their problem is clutch plates. They don't have clutch pads or whatever. They don't have them to fix their cars. And when you go to Lenesia, there's a place called Loli.
What's mine?
The crime is very high there, Chairperson. Robbery is happening daily. Robbery is happening every now and then, and rape and murder cases. I'm asking why the department don't put a satellite police office there, so that container, so that they can arrest and assist the people who are on Lonely for the cases that are happening. And when you go to Lenesia also,
my apologies to interrupt you, but But at the moment, we're actually dealing with the Free State province presentation. I understand the issues that you are raising in relation to Gauteng. That is not the agenda item that we're dealing with now.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, but there are other platforms where you can raise the issues you are raising. And my apologies to interrupt you, but I just thought it's important that we be a bit more focused on what we're doing.
No, thanks. Thanks, Chairperson. I do understand.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Motsema. Members, if there are no more questions, because I think honorable members have raised quite a plethora of issues. I think they've also covered some of my concerns. But let me then hand over to yourself, Minister, maybe just to direct how some of the responses can be made. There are other issues which are specific to the police station, the Park Road Police Station, which I know we will be engaging at that level on a number of issues raised. I'm sure when we get there at the police station, we'll engage at that level. But perhaps the other broader issues, Minister, if we can maybe get some kind of responses to them. Thank you. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe what we didn't mention, Ikamalamakoska's Malbongwe. Chair, out of 9 provinces, now we've got 5 female provincial commissioners. As South African Police Service. It has never happened before that there are more provincial commissioners, female than male. I think as this organization, we're making progress on that one.
Congratulations, Dos.
The latest one being the Northern Cape. Chair, let me say this with a very heavy heart. I don't know how it will happen, if it happens that you will ever find a proper staffed in terms of warm bodies at a station in the Republic of South Africa, Chair, not in Free State. So that's one question that you'll go fully understanding that the answer, whichever police station you'll be going to, they'll never find enough fully staffed stations with warm bodies. That moves from the understanding of the overall pool, Chairperson. I've been saying this figure time and again, I sound like a broken record now. That in the year 2010, Chair, we had 195,000 overall, including the support staff, 195,000. Today, we have 176,000. That will be 20,000 down of members. But another thing, Chair, that I must put on the table, for some reason, almost every month, including the last month, I signed 203 members that are leaving the service. This happened when I was appointed as a minister, where the members were running out in big numbers. Average would be 200 a month, until where I was supposed to sign about 300 of them. I invited them to hear from them, why are they running out on this organization like the Burning House? They gave separate reasons, the stress, there are those that were sick, and as you look at them, you realize that they can't carry the weight anymore. There are those that even today, there is a category, Chair, that says, I'm tired. There is a category that says, I'm frustrated. One of Warrant Officer Ngobo from Mahlabathini, he made an illustration to say, my daughter was born when I was warrant officer, and she's a graduate today, I'm a warrant officer. The progression issues. But the figures are getting worse month by month, when it comes to the police. That is besides those that are charged, those besides that are dismissed from the, those are besides those that appear in court and all that kind of stuff. Chairperson, we have this 10,000 at the college, though itself, I think it's 970 now. Some things have happened. Others have found to be of records. Even the others, they opted out saying the training is heavy and all that. But we still give that 10,000. That 10,000, we are expecting another 10,000 from the president and the treasurer next year, which will give us about 20,000. And that 20,000, Chair, will put us close to the figure of 2010, not on the figure of 2022. So this shortage is still going to be with us terrible for a long time. I heard Honorable Member, I guess, Member Fesser, to say why was one station she visited was understaffed. We have several, especially in the rural areas, Chair, we have police stations that close at night because there are no members there. So it's something that has happened over time from those years, 2015 to 2012, coming down, trying to correct it is not easy. This first batch of people that are on training as we speak now will come out on the 15th of December. So we can begin then to put these warm bodies to these heavily understaffed police stations. So I'm simply saying, Chair, is the standard answer or the standard observation as you move to these police stations would be saying that there are not enough bodies. It doesn't matter where you go, not just Free State. It doesn't matter where you go in the country. The question, most questions, Chair, I'm sure we'll be able to work them with the management before we come. There are specifics. But generic, we do have a problem, Chair, with our members consumed in criminal activities around Free State will be both Zamazamas, but also stock theft. Chairperson, we have visited some places when Free State last month, the other time when Free State, where we met the farmers dealing with the stock theft issue. I can't remember exactly the remind me, but I've received a feedback that since we went there, the situation has improved in that area that we went to it, because the hawks, after receiving information, were acted, and I think about four of our members that are supposed to be stock theft members were arrested together with the farmer and the son, and it was the farmer together with the members of the South African Police Service. They were arrested. There is that, one can't deny it, that there are some syndicate that put together farmers and the police and other people like the truckers that they move that stock to other provinces, even across the border, especially Lesotho. So that happens. I hope that information will be prepared thorough by the stations, broadly the province, but specifically the stations that the honorable members will be visiting. Chairperson, I hear member Dodovu visited the Welkom in 2020. In July 2019, Chair, we created, it is on the report, we created a lockdown operation that is permanent, is still there, where we created a response unit that is dealing with the mining issues, with the Zamazamas issues, that at one time was based in Welkom, dealing with the situation there. As Honorable Member said, the Zamazamas there will go underground and divert electricity and divert water to their operations at the expense of the community. So we had to act. Chairperson, my last report was that the situation improved since we have put that unit on a permanent basis. One could simply say Free State was the first province to get a permanent unit dealing with Zamazamas. It's still there. We still take it to the different parts of Free State, but it is still there responding to that. So it's an issue that we are dealing with it as it has erupted in West Rand as we speak. But Free State has been there and working on it, working in the illicit economy besides illicit economy of bread and all that, abuse women, enslaved women. They've been rescued, several of them from underground that are taken to be made sex slaves and all. So Free State was almost the first one. But Chair, because members, they want a further expansion as per province, but more specific the stations. Maybe one will leave that opportunity that the management and the leadership of that province, they prepare that when the time comes and the members come, the information will be much better, not generic, not scanning, but dealing with specifics. So if I may end the chair for now with the hope that the questions have really enlightened us and we will work accordingly and the comments made by members. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. Minister, if I can maybe, if you could just indulge the committee maybe with regard to the issue in relation to infrastructure, given that we have you currently on the platform. At the level of the executive, what is actually being done to try and deal with the challenges related to infrastructure and expedite some of these problems with infrastructure?
Chairperson, you can't deal with the infrastructure of the police without the presence of the Department of Public Works. No ways. There are two issues that you are here yourselves that want to put our shoulders and cry on you. There are two issues that they really frustrate police, is to work with the Department of Public Works and CETA. Those two departments, they frustrate the police. So even the cells that members are talking about, even the police station, even the maintenance, even the what was raised by the member in Harangua. Fortunately, Harangua is fine now, Chair, but it took National Commissioner and the Minister and Deputy Minister to go there and find that it's a Department of Public Works. So when you go to infrastructure, the building, the maintenance of the police stations, those cells that you talk about, it will be very difficult to deal it with the police minus the public works. Maybe it could not. The assembly portfolio committee has invited. I can't remember if you have done it, Chair, at this committee, has invited both of those committees or of those departments together. Both ministers were there. And we put bare these things is one of the area, Chair, that frustrates to such an extent, Chair, that police is where we made a lot of not using money. What the rollovers, Chair. We make rollovers on the infrastructure because somebody did not do that job. I hope yourselves at this honorable committee, you would maybe request the joint hearing from this department so that you are putting picture of the frustration that police have when it comes to this infrastructure. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister. I just thought I should raise it. I think it is an area that we have also identified, also as individual members, around the infrastructure stations, and I think of security and justice, we also with the courts as well. So I think these are just some of the areas that we also intend engaging on with the Department of Public Works yourselves, and I'm sure the Department of Justice, to try and see what is actually creating, you know, some of these challenges. I know every time you come to us, we blame you. But be that as it may, thank you very much for that general. And I think we'd appreciate very much if we that members have raised. I think, Minister, if you could get some of that information even before we actually go down to the province next week. There's specific issues that relate to the specific police station. I think that obviously members have made certain suggestions as well in terms of what their expectations also are in terms of the type of information they require, that the province looks into that and ensures that when we do get the presentation of the specific police station, then they would actually raise all of these issues. And then that being the Park Road police station. Honorable Sileku, is that a legacy hand or are you?
Sorry, Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
No, Chair, I was just trying to come up with a forward thinking in terms of issues of infrastructure. What the Minister has just said now, that there is nothing we can discuss without having the sister department, Public Works and Infrastructure, present. So if we would want to have a very effective oversight next week in the Free State pertaining to these police stations, I would really, really appreciate that after this meeting that together with the officials, you look at a way of getting at least, you know, the highest decision maker in a particular province to deal with issues of infrastructure, which is of concern to us, so that we don't, you know, waste our, you know, taxpayers' money by going to oversight, you know, and then we come with more questions than answers. That was just my forward thinking, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay. I think that's over and above the broader process that we want to engage in. Perhaps it's something we will look at administratively, whether when we engage on the Park Police Station, whether representation from Department of Public Works to also deal with some of the issues that members will select. Let me thank the department, minister, deputy minister, national commissioner, provincial commissioner in absentia, for the presentations, for the responses, and honorable members for your deliberations, because I think it was important to have this presentation up front. We do have limited time when we do our work, our committee oversight week work. I know there's a lot of traveling that we also engage into, so it does cut into our time. So we thought it's important to get this information. Thank you very much. I think our members will take some of these matters forward as we engage with the department in the province, and obviously as we engage with our report further and our recommendations are going forward. With that being said, let me thank you all. Thank you, Minister, Deputy Minister, the team from SAPS, honourable members for attendance, participation and contributions. And let me also then declare this meeting officially closed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.